Well, good evening. Good evening. Let's find a hymnal. Let's find a hymnal. We'll turn over to number 246. 246, Redeem. Let's all stand together. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. You know, sometimes I see our crowd wants to hold it. And sometimes they want to go through. And so the first time I'm like, let's go through it. I was like, whoa, where are we going? So all right, then, you know, I'm going to hold it longer. But anyway, on the third verse, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Amen. Good to have you here tonight, and glad that I could be redeemed. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad for that tonight? What a wonderful time to be together. I can't think of any better place to be on your 60th birthday than at church. Miss Judy's birthday is today, and so she's turning somewhere around 60. Amen. And so we're glad to want to just wish her a happy birthday. We're going to sing. You're not going to want to play happy birthday, but we're going to sing happy birthday anyway, because there is nothing better than getting fully embarrassed on your birthday. Amen. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Happy birthday. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and be seated. Brother Ed, come on ahead.
Before we get into prayer, I'm just going to, as I always do, kind of give you something that's going on. So you can call this coincidence, or you can call it the Holy Spirit working. If you know my history from California, a very close friend of mine, Louie, we were in ministry together. For years, we would pray every day and not miss a beat. He would call me, and I was looking through. Last October, I got a new phone. He got a new phone, and we somehow like lost each other's phone numbers. So we haven't been in touch since then. And I missed the prayer time with him. Again, he's like a brother, a real brother to me. So yesterday, Mary and I were driving in the car, and she said, "Hey, when was it the last time you talked to Brother Louie? And what's going on with that?" And I was like, it's been a while now. And then I looked and seen October of last year. This morning, he calls me at work, and he's like, I found your number. We need to get together this weekend and start praying again. And I responded back to him. I was like, it's got to be the Holy Spirit leading us back together in prayer. So when I got home, I told my wife, and I said, hey, guess who called today? Brother Louie. And she's like, the Holy Spirit must have something to do with that. So you could call it coincidence, but I miss him. He's a dear into my heart. He's been part of my testimony in the past, and I'm so looking forward to praying with him again every day. So I just had to share that. That's like a praise in my life. We were super close. And getting to the prayers, if you have your handout for tonight's lesson on here for praises, we've been doing work. Well, I haven't, but someone has in the back. I do the yard work, but someone did interior work in the back for the class. I guess put a new floor down and everything. And so we've been praying that we can use that small little building back there. And now it's all come together. So praise the Lord for that. Next on the list, we have our spiritual needs for family. Again, we just have a few here, but we all have someone in our family that probably doesn't know the Lord and need to know the Lord. So again, continue to emphasize praying for each other's families. There's probably someone in my family that I couldn't reach, but if God puts someone else there, they'll be able to reach them. Our families are the hardest to reach most times because they know who we used to be. So with that said, let's put some real strong emphasis tonight on our family. And then under the physical section, Miss Cookie, do you have any updates on the two that you put requests for? Okay.
He said it's looking like it's not.
Amen. See?
This. And my uncle is having surgery on the 15th. But I do have one of my friends, Kim, that she just had her grandson born a month early yesterday. And he's in the NICU with pneumonia, so we can just pray for him, Malachi.
Okay, let's keep Malachi in prayer. And then we have down here Brother Bob, we've been praying for John. Any updates there? He probably can't hear me.
That's Bob's son.
Okay.
It's a friend of his. We just put this on John. He's lost his wife. He's in his 50s, John is. Lost his wife recently. He's already lost his son and daughter. So it's
right.
Just very discouraged.
Okay, that the Lord.
So John Bob's son watches our service.
Okay. All right. So let's just lay the Lord puts his hand on his heart and just gives him a lifted spirit. And then we have the big wedding coming up this weekend.
Our Father, we're thankful for this time tonight, Lord, that we can be gathered together and pray. And Lord, thank you for each one that's come and desire to hear from your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, would you encourage us and direct us? And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to see from your word your plan. And Lord, we might choose and desire to live in it. Well, thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We are working at getting to complete the whole book of Proverbs and every verse. And so we've spent 2.5 years for our guests here. We've spent 2.5 years. And we had a missionary here the other day. It was a missionary, wasn't it? That's who it was. And he said it took him 4 years. And so I figure I'm on track. Amen. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So, coming up here in just a few days, we're going to mark the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. We weren't there. I don't think anybody, no. When they signed that, they said, we are no longer with Britain. We are our own country. So that's where we're that day. The nations, we call this the semi-quincentennial. The semi-quincentennial. I'm only going to say that one time. And thankfully. Israel. And he's not writing about America, obviously. But he is giving wisdom that is true for any nation. Right? You see that there? This is what makes this verse important for us and significant for us tonight. This is not about national flattery. We do a lot of national flattery. I'm not ashamed of that. I believe in American exceptionalism. Amen. You know, so maybe that is some flattery. But this isn't about flattery here. This is about this is a divine principle. There's a principle that we find here in the Word of God. So number one is this: righteousness lifts a nation. Okay, righteousness lifts a nation. Again, it says this: righteousness exalteth a nation. Under that, righteousness gives a nation moral strength. There is a moral strength in this thing. And so, number one, under that, the word exalteth. I'm giving you easy blanks to start with, all right? We have a deal around here. Everybody likes to guess the blanks ahead of time, so sometimes I make them easy, and sometimes I make it, you can't get it without me. I want to still be needed. Okay. So the word exalteth carries the idea of lifting up, raising, or making high. And this is the idea. This righteousness gives this moral strength. It lifts up. This righteousness lifts up a nation. So, A, Solomon is saying that righteousness gives a nation its true strength. Okay, a true strength of a nation comes from righteousness. Okay, this is what exalts us. It's not our great forefathers, which I think many of them were great in the sense of man. You know, I think many of them had very principles, and we look through history of people that laid down their lives to preserve what we have. So thankful for that. But that's not what gives us our true strength. It's really what we find here is righteousness. That's what exalts a nation. And so, listen, this is not saying, I want us to get this concept, though. It's not saying that every person in the nation must be saved for the nation to benefit from righteousness. That would be sad. That would be disappointing if everyone had to be saved for a nation to be exalted because of righteousness. Listen, and like if you don't get saved, you know what we're going to do? Murder you. The Crusades, right? The Inquisitions. That's what all this was about. It was about misunderstanding this kind of concept that says we're going to go ahead and if you don't bend the knee to us, we're going to end your life. You have a choice, right? And then, you know, still we find this in the Middle East. Still, some of that stuff is still about, conform or turn to us or die. And that's the only way. I'm glad that's not God's way. I don't like killing people. I mean, I suppose I don't. I've not tried it recently, but I don't think I'd like that. Right. And so I would rather give the gospel and let God do a work in there. But here's the thing. We don't listen. Proverbs often speaks about practical righteousness. We find that the Proverbs are very practical. It's about practical living. It talks about practical righteousness, but it talks about justice, about honesty, about moral order, truthful dealings. We've dealt with all these things. Protection of the innocent. And primarily, where it begins is the fear of the Lord, right? We find all these things. And so this is a, when we talk about righteousness, exalting a nation, it doesn't have to be the whole nation. Who could it be? Maybe you. Imagine this for a moment. Now, I'm going to get off this and we're going to get to the second. Is that possible? I think it's more than possible. I think if God says this is what happens, now listen, we think about Abraham trying to turn back God's wrath over with Lot and how, over Sodom, and how many is it going to take? And what about this many? What about this many? And really, he got down. God said, if there's just this many, there's okay. If there's that many, okay. Wow. When you realize what it takes, it's not as much as we would think. Well, it's got to be 50%. Wow, way less than that. Way, praise the Lord. That, you know what that really tells me, is that I can make a difference, even in my nation. Okay, B. Righteousness recognizes authority above man. Authority above man. Okay? So, man is not our authority. Okay, it doesn't mean we don't have, God hasn't given some authority, but there's an authority above man, is the point of that. Number one, a nation is helped when righteousness is honored. Okay? When we honor righteousness, and that's important. Listen, I was talking to somebody. We had somebody come over here to the church this week, and we had to transact some purchasing stuff, and we got to talk to them a little bit. And, you know, they started talking about politics and, you know, and this, that. And I said, you know, we don't. My hope isn't in Washington. Okay? My hope is in the Lord. It's not in Washington. But I said this to him. Okay, I said, but we do want righteousness in our nation. Right? Doesn't mean because, well, we don't have any hope. That means we're not even going to care about it. No, we should care. But there's a limit, I think, what that limit is. I'm not going to draw that line. But there's a limit to how much effort I'm going to give to all that. I'm going to, if I can, you know, check a box that's more righteousness, I'm going to check that box. Matter of fact, I'm going to check that box that saves lives and babies and other kind of things and those candidates at least that say they're going to do that. I don't know. You say, well, you think they're going to tell the truth? I don't think any politician is always going to tell the truth. Are there some good ones? I think we have some good ones here. Man, it's a good state to live in. Yeah. In Florida, man, it's amazing. We have some good ones, but that doesn't mean anyway. My point is there's authority above man, and when we will honor righteousness, a nation is going to be helped, and we'll push it that way. So A under that, a nation is exalted when truth matters. Right? Amen. When this matters, when truth matters, a nation, I'm telling you what, a nation is exalted when truth makes the difference. A nation is helped when the family is guarded. I mean, this God's plan is the family unit. When it's guarded, a nation is helped when leaders fear judgment. Man, I'm going to tell you what, the fear of the judgment of God really caused us to rethink how we're going to do some things. A nation is helped when citizens understand that liberty is not permission to do whatever we want. Amen. Right? Liberty, I'm thankful for liberty. Wow. I mean, we enjoy something. I think that's so funny with the World Cup coming here. I could have never cared anything about the World Cup. Somebody talk about the World Cup. I didn't even know what the World Cup was. I really didn't. I knew it was some soccer thing. The World Cup. I don't know. You know, the years. I don't even know if I cared anything about it. I don't watch a soccer. You know, let's go real football. But the rest of the world loves it. The rest of the world loves it. And they came here, and I think it's amazing. They found out how great America is. And I think what's awesome is we can realize, and when they're talking, I mean, it's all over. It's all over. The internet's all over the news, what these people are saying. It's not pockets here and there. It's all over. And people are coming to say, wow, we have this. I read about something that happened in 1985. When Yeltsin came over to America for something, and he was, I can't remember exactly the city, I just read it and I thought that was interesting, and he went into a grocery store. He stopped at a random grocery store, like not one that America set up for him to see. And he's walking, it was just a regular grocery store, kind of like a Publix or something like that, Albertsons or something like that. Walked into one, probably smaller than 85. But He walked around 20 minutes in this grocery store. He said from there, he took a flight to wherever the next place was. I can't remember all those details. But he said he sat there silent the whole time. Just in shock. He said even the wealthiest politicians in Russia didn't have access to the food that the average American could afford. It was just amazing. And so the rest of the world's coming here and seeing this, and they're thinking, wow. You know, it ought to bring back to us that what liberty has brought for us. We ought to be a thankful people. And so number two, we have seen that in the USA. That's the blank. We've seen that. We've seen this a nation exalted when truth matters. So the Declaration of Independence says this in there. It says in a phrase, there's several places, but it says says that men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Okay, it's not scripture. Let's don't try to make our documents equivalent to the Bible. But it's not written as a sermon. What's interesting, it's written as a document to a nation and what's going on with this. It demonstrates something important about America's founding language. Is this rights were not presented as gifts from a government? You understand that? Our rights don't. The United States government doesn't give us our rights, but they come from God. Amen. They come from the Lord. And so, under that, the principle of Proverbs 14:34 is that a nation is stronger when it recognizes that there is an authority above man. There's an authority above man. When we recognize that, I'm telling you what, I don't want to go too far across this line, but I don't care what politician wins. You say you don't care. I do care. I mean, I'm happy when one loses and the other wins. You know what I'm saying? But I still sleep at night when the election's over. I'm not going to go into some of those things. I'd like to say some things that scared me, who was going to get elected and didn't. I was praising the Lord. But my point is, no matter who's in there, I think God can use that. And sometimes we get what we deserve. And sometimes God bless. When they recognize that government is not God. Man is not God. And that rights do not begin with the state. I think what they wrote in that declaration was there was wisdom in that thing. So see, righteousness uses liberty under the fear of God. Righteousness uses liberty under the fear of God. So number one, no nation is exalted simply because it is free. Freedom doesn't make us exalted, right? Number two, a nation is exalted when freedom is governed by righteousness. Okay? Listen, we have. Can you imagine living in a place where you don't have the liberty to live righteously? Do you know there's people that live a kind of way that they can't come to church? They are forbidden. We've had missionaries stand up here talking about these nations, some of these communist places that they've got to hide. Could you imagine having to hide, sneak to church? Like, we're not going to wear no suit and tie to come to church. We're trying to pretend like we're just going to the grocery store. sin, and it doesn't bring that to us. It's going to bring shame. It's going to bring disgrace. It's going to bring reproach, what we're talking about here. The second half of the verse, I think, is just as important as the first half. It's not just what exalts us, but it's also what reproaches us. So number one, sin is a reproach. And A, under that, a reproach is a shame, disgrace, or cause of dishonor. Sin dishonors us as a people. As a people. When I tell you, you look at some of the stuff that goes on around the world, and I'm just going to say Iran right now, and they're over there executing the people that protest. I think protests have got out of hand in America. Honestly, I think it's just gone ridiculous. We probably need to. No, I'm kidding. But I'm kidding. It's a joke. Not a good one. Not a good joke. Sorry. But yeah, I know it gets out of hand, and it does get. But wow, when you would, because what they're doing is they're trying to usurp the authority of the government. People. I'll tell you, so I was in, my wife and I were stationed in England, and I'll never forget this. I'd been there for almost 2 years. I was there for 2 years, and then I came back and went, she had been there for a year, and we got married, and we're down in London having our honeymoon there. After we got married, we're there, and all of a sudden, we just hear, British people are pretty calm. Being loud is not a British characteristic. It's an American characteristic. And so we're there, and all of a sudden, there's this loudness. And I thought, man, what on earth? It's like a commotion going on. We go over there, and there's this family, a husband, a wife, and two kids. They are so loud. I'm just like, I'm not an American. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying they were sinning. I'm just kind of giving that illustration that it can bring a reproach upon a people. You know, it's interesting when we were there in Sri Lanka, we'd visit people, we'd come back to the United States, and they different things would be a Sri Lankan here. They said, "Yeah, don't trust the Sri Lankans." And I thought, I could never imagine me saying to someone else, "Don't trust an American. You can't trust an American." I heard that with Sri Lankans over and over. You can't trust a Sri Lankan. I thought, wow, what a terrible thing. It becomes a reproach to a people. You see, it kind of spreads. It's not a private matter. You see, it goes beyond. It brings the shame upon a whole people. No nation is exempt from that. Not Israel. Not Babylon, right? Not Rome. Not England. Certainly not America. It brings a reproach upon any. B, sin cannot be excused by history. Okay, I want you to think about that for a minute. Sin today can't be excused because of our history yesterday. Number one, sin does not become less shameful because it is popular. Well, everyone's doing it. Oh, okay. Well, let's just rip that page out then. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry. But you know what I'm saying? This is kind of, well, everyone's doing that today. You know, people have been doing it, so we have to just, well, I guess, I'm not doing that. There's some things I would do to be dramatic, but I'm not doing that. And so we could just rip that thing out and say, we're not going to use that anymore because everybody's doing that now. And sometimes this is what we want to do. You know, the whole world's doing that now. Well, the Lord is the same in history, in the present, He's still going to be the same tomorrow, yeah, always. And so we're not going to get into that kind of thing. It's not less shameful because everyone's doing it, because it's popular. A, sin does not become less destructive because it is protected by law. Well, the law says I can do it. The law says, and I'm just using one I know we're all going to be, the law says I can kill my baby. So that makes it less destructive. makes it less sinful. No, I'm just saying, no, that's not the case. And by the way, that's an easy one for us because there's a lot of other things that we might get in our own wheelhouse. We're like, well, it's not against the law. Come on. And by the way, I'm not talking about the Old Testament law. I'm talking about the law of Christ. That puts that keeps raising the bar, right? Sin does not become less offensive to God because a nation has a patriotic past. We are not exempt from bringing shame upon us because we started from a Christian foundation. We started with a desire to see God as in authority. Now, number two, America's history contains both mercy and shame. We got both of it in there. We can thank God for liberty. Amen? We can thank God for liberty. And here's the thing. We can thank God for liberty while admitting that liberty has not always been applied righteously. But we can still thank God for it. Well, yeah, it's given this. Well, okay, listen, we can thank God for founding principles while admitting that the nation has often failed to live by them. Okay, we can still thank God for that, even though as a people, we've not always followed that. We can honor sacrifice of those that went before us, soldiers, and those, not only soldiers, sometimes the citizens and people that stepped up to, imagine during World War II, people stepped up to give their metal appliances to melt down to make bullets. I mean, this wasn't a soldier only. This was a whole nation, right? We can honor sacrifice while still confessing that sin is a reproach to any people. Okay, we can have both sides. See, sin must be answered with humility before God. Joey got that one, just for the record. Good job. Here's your pretend candy. All right. So, the answer is not to hate the nation. Folks, let's don't do that. I hope you understand, if you've ever traveled outside the United States, and I don't think people in this room are like this, but, I mean, we got so much hate by Americans hating America. Sometimes they hate what we do and they love what others do, but if they went over there, they wouldn't live through it. Mm-hmm. Right? They're the very people that those people would kill, but they're protected here. Sometimes it's goofy. The answer is not to hate the nation. But here's the answer here. And I know you agree. Just hear what I'm going to say. The answer is not to worship the nation. We can love and be thankful and praise the Lord for what He's done. And we can, but we don't worship it. Okay? There's a line there. Number one, the answer is to be humble, is to humble ourselves before the God who judges all nations righteously. So in George Washington's farewell address, I took a class in on American history, and I had to read his farewell address. I dropped out of high school in 10th grade. I didn't do any of the, probably, I don't know if they ever did that in high school then either, but I read that and I thought, wow, it's quite prophetic. Yes. You read that, you're thinking, wow, this guy, he wasn't a preacher, but he knew some stuff. You know, he got a God, I think God was, you know, a lot of articles, but in his farewell address, he warned that religion and morality are indispensable supports for political prosperity, and that a person could not claim, here's what he said, true patriotism while working to undermine these supports. Here's what he said. You can't be a patriot and undermine Christianity. It's really what he was saying. And to undermine either Christianity, and by the way, he wasn't talking about religion as a whole. He was talking about Christianity. They wouldn't even think about anything else. Well, what about these other? No, they didn't even think about that. It was all only that. He said, you can't... Leadership affects a nation. Proverbs 28 and verse 2. Bible says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But which that just means they're going to have many, many kings, many leaders, is what it's talking about. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Okay, transgression brings instability. Transgression brings instability. Number one, many other princes suggest confusion, turnover, competing powers, unsettled rule. I don't know where that sounds like today. Let's go on. We're four. Sin does not only affect private life, it disrupts public life. Right? B, righteous authority brings rejoicing. Look over to chapter 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority. Amen? I like that. We've had that a couple times. No, it's been more than that. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Okay, listen. Number one, different rulers affect the condition of the people. Okay? That's what we're seeing in this verse. A, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Right. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. Okay. You're happy or you're crying. Right? By the way, mourning isn't complaining. When I think of mourning, I think of crying out to God. Begging God for the situation. And there's sadness with that too. And you ever said anything like this? I wish it was the way it used to be. Anybody here ever said that? All of us. I wish it was back like it used to be. You know, when I was a kid, you know, I could run around and not have to worry about all the kind of debauchery and things that are going on. Which probably I found some anyway. But my point is that today, you know, we've got the whole world in our hand, and I'm not talking about like in a great way. Got it all there. Look, Solomon is not saying politics saves a nation. That's not what he's saying when he's talking about these leaders. The point is, leadership matters because this. Here's the point I want to make tonight. Leadership matters because righteousness matters. I think that's what we see here. When there's a righteous leader, people rejoice. When there's a wicked leader, people mourn. So we see righteousness matters in a nation. Again, we look at our own nation as an example. America's form of government gives citizens a voice in leadership. Amen? That means the people cannot pretend leadership has nothing to do with them. Well, that government, well, we the people, right? In a monarchy, the people may suffer under the king they were given, and they got no choice to ever get rid of him. And you say, well, we can assassinate him. Yeah, and then his son sometimes ends up, or his daughter ends up being worse than him. I mean, but it's the same lineage. But in a republic, the people often suffer under the rulers they desire. Leadership is often not only, let me rephrase it. Leadership is often not only the cause of the condition of the nation, but a reflection of its condition. Listen, it's not that, well, that leader is what's done it. Really? Can you think? One of them isn't, and I said, and I think I said that. I said, well, you know, whatever, but I'm not a political defender. There's hardly one that would line up with the Word of God close enough that I, anyway. But the thing is, I said, here's the thing is, a lot of times we talk about this one or that one. The truth is, who's up there? We as a people have put them there. Maybe they're not the cause of the problem. Maybe it's the we, the people. Here's our conclusion tonight. I know we're out of time, but I got 2 minutes. 2 minutes in overtime. Okay. Proverbs 14:34 is not only a verse for politicians. It's a verse for churches, for homes, for individuals. A nation is made up of people, not politicians. If we desire righteousness in the land, then righteousness must begin with us. Right? We cannot mourn national sin. Okay. We cannot mourn national sin while excusing personal sin. Well, I don't like their sin. Mine's okay. Mine's not as destructive. Actually, it is. Particularly when we claim to be a Christian. And we're supposed to be the ones being the righteous light.
Amen.
And when we have that little sin and the nation has the big sin, well, come on. We cannot call rulers to righteousness while refusing righteousness in our homes. We cannot ask God to bless America while living as though we do not need God ourselves. That wasn't fun. Here's the challenge. Thank God for the mercy He has shown our nation. We ought to thank God for the mercy He's shown us. Pray for our nation. Right? Pray for those in authority. We find scripture for that. Amen? We find that. We, by the way, it doesn't whether it's the good one or the bad one. Right? Whether it's the righteous one or the wicked one. We have enough people in our country that do nothing more than complain about whoever's in Washington. Could we just agree together to quit doing that? Right? You're like, wow, no, we're not complaining about this guy. Some do. But the next guy, it's like you flip that thing. This side hates the guy, and then the next guy gets in. Now this side hates him. This side loves him. It's like, well, can we just quit that? Let's just pray for him. I'm not saying we want the wickedness. But more than that, be the kind of Christian whose life demonstrates the righteousness that truly exalts a people. A nation is not preserved by patriotism alone. I love America. Serve my country. I'm a thankful American. But that's not going to preserve America. A nation is lifted by righteousness and it's shamed by sin. Pursue the righteousness that God blesses. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, I do thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the occasion that we have to really consider that you have blessed this great nation, and we're so thankful to be a part of it. And Lord, you've given us great liberty, great occasion. Lord, I pray that tonight you would encourage us to be the righteousness that would exalt our nation, even when no one else around us does. Lord, encourage us in that way. And we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.